Welcome to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM Vancouver Co-op Radio CFRO on unceded Coast Salish territories, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, June 6, 2014. I am Jackie and I'm joined here in studio today by Cynthia.
Hello.
And Allison. Welcome. This program can be heard every Friday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and is also streamed live at coopradio.org and available as podcasts on iTunes and animalvoices.org after airing. On today's show, in respect for World Oceans Day this Sunday, we will be having special programming about our oceans and the beings within them. We share an interview with Sebastian Hutton of Sea Shepherd Vancouver. Sebastian tells us about how his interest in oceanic protection began, Sea Shepherd Vancouver's past, present, and future, and their campaigns. We also speak with Mary Finelli of Fish Feel. Fish Feel is the sole organization devoted exclusively to promoting the recognition of fish as sentient beings deserving of respect and protection. Despite fish constituting the largest category of animals used for food, including as farmed animal feed, and despite huge numbers of fish harmed for research, sport, and aquaria, their well-being receives very little attention, including from within the animal protection community even. Fish Feel is working to spread education and outreach about these important beings. So please stay tuned for a great show today. And to start off, Allison is going to tell us a bit about her Food for Life program that she's going to be attending in a couple weeks.
Hi there. So yeah, I just wanted to point out first, I'm tech operating today and we're actually in a new location. So bear with us, please. So yeah, everything seems to be working, right, on your end?
So far.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So I'm actually heading out to New York City next week, which I'm really excited about. That's going to be for a little bit of a vacation. And then after that, I am going to Washington, D.C. to participate in a program being put on by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, which you may know about. They are a national organization located in Washington, D.C. that promotes healthy plant-based living. And I'm so looking forward to that. So about a year ago, I actually applied to this program that they put on called Food for Life, where they train instructors in their areas. So all over North America, it's starting to become pretty much like very much in the United States, and they're actually branching out into other countries as well. And what they do is they train instructors to teach their curriculum for healthy, low-fat, plant-based cooking, and they It is an award-winning program. It's designed by physicians, nurses, and registered dietitians, and they offer classes on cancer, diabetes, and kids classes that focus on the life-saving effects on healthful eating, and also just for people who just want to make the transition to healthier eating. It's all plant-based. So each class includes information on how certain foods and nutrients work to promote health, along with cooking demonstrations of simple and nutritious recipes that can be recreated easily at home. I'm so looking forward to this. This is something that I wanted to do for quite a while now. I did apply for this a year ago when they weren't really taking Canadian freelancers at that time, so I'm going to be actually one of the first Canadian freelancers to be trained, and I'll be teaching this curriculum in my area, which is in Vancouver. So if anyone's interested, please give me a shout here in Vancouver. You can contact me at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. And, you know, I'm just really looking forward to being able to put a few of my passions together, which is, you know, vegan eating and plant-based nutrition and teaching people and just really empowering people and educating them on how to eat better. So, yeah.
And who's teaching this?
So it's different instructors at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and there's different dietitians, and Dr. Neil Barnard, he's the PCRM president, who people might be familiar with. He is teaching one of the classes on plant-based nutrition for chronic disease prevention. So it's a myriad of people, the people coordinating the courses and that. So just a bunch of different qualified people that, like, this program just seems really awesome. They've been doing it now for not too long, but it seems like really what's the word I want to use? Just like it's really well organized, and they sent me like the 64-page administration manual that I need to read before next week on just like even just the logistics and administration of running your own business and teaching this curriculum. And like this is something like, as I've said, I'm really excited about, really want to do it. And they teach you how to, there's actually, I get to do a cooking demo as well to be critiqued on. And guess what I have to make? if you can imagine, a really easy, low-fat, plant-based recipe that'll only take a few minutes because there's 60 of us doing this, right? So it can't take very long. I get to make muesli.
So, oh.
I looked at the recipe, and it's like they assigned it to me. It's like, throw together some oats, throw together some cranberries, voila, you've got muesli. So I have to practice that, though, because I want to do my best to get some good critiquing. So, yeah. So any other questions for me?
How long is this? I'm not sure if you mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good question. People have been asking me that. It's actually only a three-day course. I think, yeah, I showed you the agenda, but you didn't really get a chance to look at it. Yeah, it's only 3 days. So it's three packed days, though, of just, you know, just like one segment after another, of like really just learning everything that you need to know, like all the nutrition training and learning how to run the business, from the marketing to speaking to media to doing the cooking demos. And then they actually train you as well on using the Vitamix and Salad Master cookware, which they actually lend to you for free to use as long as you put on enough series during the year. And so I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah, so
that alone makes it worth it.
Oh, totally. Actually, that kind of pays for the cost of the course. If I were to buy even just another Vitamix, that would pay for the cost of the course. Yeah, I'm just really looking forward to everything that this has to offer. It's really well put together, and I just really respect the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. They have a good message and excellent qualified professionals. We've had some people from PCRM on the show before in the past, actually, to speak about vegan nutrition, and it's something that I think is going to be really great and something that we need in Vancouver, just bringing more plant-based education to our city in an area that I think is really lacking. We don't have anything like this here in Vancouver, so it's coming. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Allison.
Yeah, no problem.
Great. And so we have some news, but first I wanted to just say that we wanted to stand in solidarity with some local activists who were at last Friday, which was May 30th, outside the Burnaby Chevron refinery. Three local activists whose names are Dan Wallace, Mia Neeson, and Adam Gold, locked themselves early morning to fences outside the Burnaby Chevron refinery, and they held signs. They had signs that said, "We love this coast." So obviously they were there against Chevron and specifically against the Pacific T-Rail pipeline. And so a few animal activists went to stand with them in solidarity, and there was some amazing chants like no pipelines on stolen land. And unfortunately they were, the chains were broken and they were arrested. I think they're free now, but we just wanted to say, direct action.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it was great. And it was just to clarify, it was the Pacific Trails pipeline. Yeah, no worries. But yeah, I think that's a really powerful movement, and it just, you know, it's important that we as animal rights activists show solidarities to these activists, as of course, you know, pipelines and things like that are going to affect not only human life and not only environment, but also the wildlife that live in those areas. So it's important that we as animal activists also support them and just show our solidarity.
Exactly. Awesome. So, some news out of UK. A British animal rights group accused 10 universities around the UK of conducting garish experiments on hundreds of cats between 2008 and 2012. So the British Union for the Abolition of Vivisection, so BUAV, made its allegations in a study released Monday, saying 855 cats were used for 1,304 experiments designed to see how cats work. In one of the experiments, cats were raised in total darkness, they said, to gain insight into lazy eye. The report named out the London School, not only the London School, but the University of Cardiff, the University of Glasgow, and Scotland as well. And in a statement by BUAF, they said that the information gained from cat research has little direct relevance to humans because of the fundamental nature of the work and the substantial difference between the two species. Research on cats is cruel, unnecessary, unpopular, and there are sophisticated humane and human relevant techniques that can be used instead. And of course, what we hear from the universities and colleges after, they always say, in which they said, that they are no longer conducting these experiments. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, most of the activists against vivisection can only figure out what's going on in the labs after things have been published.
To interrupt. I think that's important too, to realize, is a lot of, you know, the scientists or people in support of the animal research will use that these are life-saving things that they're discovering, when often, like you said, it has no or very little relevance to human application. So I think it's important for everyone to just be aware of that and to, you know, empower yourself with that research.
Yeah, and to learn about all the techniques that are out there that don't use animals, that there's so much computer technology. We have it, you know, in our pockets, the amazing technology. So the Humane Society International also said that people will be shocked to learn that animals are being treated like disposable research tools. What makes it truly immoral is that these animals are losing their lives in experiments that have little scientific credibility whatsoever. So
yeah, there again.
Yeah, exactly. So some news from animal rights. Activists have launched an online petition to ban Metallica from headlining the Glastonbury Festival at the end of June over frontman James Hetfield's love of hunting. I was a Metallica fan when I was younger, so I was really disappointed to hear this. So the Enter Sandman singer is an avid blood sports fan, and he will narrate the new US TV series that chronicles bear hunting in Alaska. So disappointed to hear that. And so were other animal activists. So they started a page entitled Remove Metallica from Glastonbury Festival for the Support of Bear Hunting. And it's already had 10,000 likes, and it only started last week. So go ahead and like that page. The post accompanying the petition reads, "The page is to appeal Glastonbury to remove Metallica from their lineup. We believe James Hetfield's support of big game hunting is incompatible of the spirit of Glastonbury and brings its good name to disrepute." So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I know there's been a lot of online petitions against celebrities, singers, and musicians to stop playing at SeaWorld.
Yeah. So I hope he bows down to the pressure, because he's really all about his fans, right? Right?
You would think,
I don't know if he's beyond that. He's, you know, he's been around for a really long time. Maybe he doesn't really care. But yeah, hopefully he'll
listen to people. He does incredible things to people.
Yeah, so his show is supposed to start June 8th, which is in a couple days. So we'll see what happens there. Some happier news, although I don't know what change this will bring, but it's a start. The BC Green Party has passed a resolution calling for a province-wide end to rodeos. So the Greens passed a resolution with 80% majority at its annual general meeting in Kelowna on Saturday. In the statement, the Vancouver Humane Society says it's very pleased because the resolution appears to be to apply to the whole province. So we're discussing earlier, we think that this means that the Green Party needs to be elected. And so
vote green, everybody. Don't think your vote doesn't count.
I think it's really more of a political statement, and I totally wholeheartedly agree with what they are doing, because they are putting the issue out there, and that alone will do probably, you know, realistically do more than them having the slim chance of getting elected. But it's something, it's the right step in the right direction. So
Well, for now, it's got to be the Eco Pirates screening that we had about a month and a half ago. It was my first time hosting an event, and we had Paul Watson as was basically present. Well, as a Skype, because he can't come in Canada anymore because our dear government stole his passport and won't give it back. But yeah, it was a pretty awesome night, and yeah, I got to talk with Paul a little bit. So it was probably my most memorable event so far.
Great. And like you mentioned, I know you've done quite a few film screenings, which have always, they always seem to almost sell out or sell out. Can you tell me about some of the reactions from the audience members after seeing the films?
I would say that the last one that we did was Famine Confidential. And it was, well, it's really close to our place because it's about the salmon farm in BC. So I guess it really struck people because it's really close to them. And a lot of people were not aware that the salmon farm were actually destroying our ecosystem here. So it really struck people, and it was really close to them. So we got a lot of response from people wanting to get involved and see what they could do to help, because, well, it's basically her neighborhood. So it was really great to reach those people and see what we can work on to actually do something about it.
And you mention salmon quite a lot, as that is, of course, a local issue. I'm just curious, what are some of the other things in Vancouver that Sea Shepherd is focusing on?
Well, for now we're looking into the salmon issue. We will also be looking at the humpback whale issue that are just been taking off the endangered list. So it's something that we will take on at some point, but in the near future, obviously, because, well, we figured that it's probably one of those gimmicks to help pass those pipelines easier. So we're going to see if there's some legal aspect that we can work on and try to at least delay the decision or something.
Okay, great. And are there any current or upcoming campaigns or events that you can discuss at all, or anything you can maybe give some hints about?
Well, we've been in talk with other chapter in the country, and we're trying to figure out if we can start our own Sea Shepherd Canada unit, because it's now a global trend that all the Sea Shepherd chapters around the world are forming their own separate entities in their own countries. So it would give us the ability to take on campaigns and basically manage all the things that are happening countrywide. So that's one thing we're looking at right now. It's still rough for now, but it's one of the things that might happen in the near future.
Okay, sounds great. And finally, how can people get involved or help support Sea Shepherd Vancouver?
Well, you can always send us an email at vancouver@seashepherd.org, and we'll be happy to help you out. You can volunteer with us to there's plenty of stuff that you can do to help. We have always tabling event almost every month. That there's at least one opportunity for you, like if you want to volunteer and do tabling. And there's also gathering of just local sea shepherd trying to get together and trying to find ideas of ways to get more involved. And we're going to have more screening also coming soon. So that's always something that we need help with. So yeah, just if you want to get involved, just shoot us an email and we'll get back to you.
All right, so that was Sebastian Hutton of Sea Shepherd Vancouver. Please check out their Facebook page, which is Sea Shepherd Vancouver or seashepherd.org for more information. So I have some events coming up, and this one is related to World Oceans Day. It's a grand opening demonstration at the Vancouver Aquarium, and this is taking place on Tuesday, June 10th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., of course, at the Vancouver Aquarium. Tuesday, June 10th is the return to the aquarium for a demonstration that coincides with their invite-only grand opening celebration. In attendance will be local politicians, media personalities, and influencers, and aquarium board members, donors, and key supporters. So, of course, this is a really great chance to reach all of these people with a message of compassion, caring, and most importantly, freedom for all cetaceans. So I hope that all of our listeners will attend. I know I'll be there.
I'll be there too.
Okay, great. And then also ocean related, there's an event called Beats Not Pipelines, and that is Friday, June 13th at between 7 p.m. and 2 a.m. And this is at Commercial Drive Legion. This is basically a community building event. It's just to launch a summer of pipelines opposition and celebrate with Indigenous and non-Indigenous artists and anti-pipeline activists. With the heat of the federal Enbridge announcement and actions underway, to come together for a community dinner, Indigenous speakers, and from impacted communities, musicians singing against pipelines, and short videos, and then stay for the late show with inspiring visuals, great beats, and dancing with local and international artists. At 7 p.m., there is a tasty community dinner, and there are vegan options, so arrive early and stay late for this important community-building event. And then there is, of course, the second annual Resistance Ecology Conference, which unfortunately I can't make it to again this year, but it sounds really awesome, and I recommend that anyone who can attend it. This conference is free and is open to the public, and it's booked at Portland State University for the weekend of June 27th to 29th. I believe that our Alyssa is going to that, so that's going to be great to hear about how that went afterwards. They're now well into the planning of the weekend in collaboration with the Student Animal Liberation Coalition. The second annual conference will be focused on pragmatic skills and ideas for animal activists looking to get involved in an intersectional movement. They are accepting workshop proposals on a wide range of topics and skill sets. The first conference was a huge success, as we heard about, and I also recommend that people do search on animalvoices.org for the interview that was done last year. on this topic, and there was around 300 attendees last year, over 35 speakers and panelists, and over 30 workshops and panels. So it covered a huge variety of issues and topics built on building intersectional movement for humans and non-humans, and the hurdles that are faced, and why there is a need to overcome them. So yeah, it's very exciting, and I hope that everyone can make it to this, or at least as big of a group as last year. All right, and that was the events. If you have any events that you'd like us to mention on the show, please email us at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. And now we're going to share a song in respect for Oceans Day. I'll share a song by 12-year-old Takaya Blaney of the Sliamon First Nation called Shallow Waters. This song is about the threat that pipelines and tankers would bring to the oceans and the life within it. And I think this is a really inspiring and important song, especially with the threats that we're facing.
my feet.
So once again, that was Shallow Waters by 12-year-old Takiya Blaney, and she's a very outspoken and inspirational young activist, so I recommend checking her out. And just a reminder, you are listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM, CFIO Vancouver Cooperative Radio on unceded Coast Salish territories. And Fish Feel is the sole organization devoted exclusively to promoting the recognition of fish as sentient beings deserving of respect and protection. Fish Feel primarily serves to help educate the public as to why these animals are deserving of our respect and appreciation, the immense problems caused by their exploitation, and how we can help them. Mary Finelli is president and chairperson of Fish Feel. Mary is a longtime animal rights activist with a Bachelor of Science in Animal Science, and we now have her here to speak with us about the issues these animals face and why they are important. Hello, Mary, and thanks for joining us today.
Hi.
Hi. To start, how and when was Fish Feel created?
We started the organization about a year ago, I had been active in animal rights for about some 30 years, primarily with dealing with farmed animal issues, and I just became so exasperated at how fish were being ignored, even by the animal protection community. So the thing to do would be start an organization just to start getting activists and, of course, the public to realize what sentient, intelligent, deserving animals fish are.
Okay, and what primarily sparked your concern for fish and their suffering?
Things like, you would hear the number of animals who are used for food, and even though fish by far outnumber any other category of animals used for food, they were often not even mentioned. So it just is really exasperating.
Mm-hmm. And the sentience of fish is something that is not widely accepted by the public and even some academics, even though it's been proven time and time again scientifically. What are some things you can share with us that prove that fish are sentient?
I think it has been shown that they are. For example, when they are exposed to painful stimuli, fish have been seen to react in ways that other animals who are in pain react. When they're given painkillers, they respond in ways that indicate that their pain has been alleviated, and they quickly learn to avoid painful stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
They're also anatomically equipped with pain-perceiving structures and pain-alleviating substances.
Okay, and why do you think there's still why do you feel that there's so much debate on this issue by the scientific community still?
Well, I believe, to a large degree, it's willful ignorance. Regarding the scientific community, fish are one of the most common animals used for scientific experimentation. And, if you don't think that they suffer pain, you don't have to worry so much about what you do to them. And just in general, fish do live in another element. They are different from us in many regards. And it's just so easy to think of them as being non-sentient. I think largely it's cultural. People have been taught, going fishing is an enjoyable pastime. You don't think it's abusing animals, but that is, in fact, what you are doing. Mm-hmm. It's a cultural thing. It's willful ignorance and just basic ignorance.
Yeah, and it sounds just like complete disregard as well because, who wants to think that they're doing all this harm? What are some of the many...
Sure, and also eating them.
Yeah, of course. And what are some of the many threats due to humans that fish currently experience? And in what ways do they suffer?
Well, of course, fishing. The number of fish used for food is truly astronomical. Like I said, it really just so overshadows the other types of animals used for food. It's been calculated by an organization called Fish Count that as many as 3 trillion wild-caught fish are killed for food each year.
Wow.
And in addition to that, about 2/5 of the fish consumed by people globally are fish farmed, the aquaculture. So that's one huge way that fish are harmed by humans. And the way that they're fished is really just so horrific, the things that are done to them. And aquacultured fish, they're killed, and basically anything goes when it comes to catching and killing fish. And then also, as I mentioned before, they're used in scientific experiments in immense numbers. They're used for recreational purposes, fishing. People think that catch and release fishing is not hurting fish, but if you think about it, you're first off, you're hooking them with a metal hook, putting that through their mouth, and then you're fighting with them, struggling with them. That a lot of fish, even sharks, you know, won't survive that afterwards. And so you're giving them injury, you're traumatizing them, and then you're putting them back in a traumatized state, so they're much more prone to predation. They're, you know, shell-shocked from what happened to them. So it's not a painless pursuit at all. It's not a harmless pursuit at all. Also, aquariums, vast numbers of fish are caught in the wild and bred for the aquarium trade. There's just so many ways. And then now climate change. With climate change, you're acidifying the oceans, which is making it more and more difficult for fish and other aquatic creatures to survive. So they really are just getting it every which way.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned earlier that anything goes. So basically, are there any regulations currently in place that help protect fish, or at least have some say over what is done to them or how they are killed?
Well, it depends on where. In the U.S., basically, as far as fish welfare goes, no. There are some rules in experimentation, what they can do. They are covered by some rules as far as slaughter goes. No. In fact, Mercy for Animals did an undercover investigation of a catfish slaughter plant in Texas, and they got some undercover footage. It's just maybe a two-minute video, which is available online. And if you watch that, you just see they are taking these fish are in buckets, live fish are just stacked in buckets, and they are just taking them and cut them up alive, squirming every which way. Yeah, it's one of the most, like I said, I've been involved in farmed animal issues for almost 30 years now, and this is one of the, watching that was one of the most, I've seen many, many horrible things, and that was truly perhaps the most horrific thing I've ever seen. It was really hard to watch, but it is available online if anyone would like to see it.
And like you said, as fish are the most exploited and most abused, at least by scale, animals, why do you feel that their suffering is often ignored or at least not prioritized in animal activism?
Well, I think that, you know, because the public is so unaware and ignorant of what's happening to fish and how fish are indeed sentient, I think a lot of activists are hesitant to approach it because they feel that, you know, it's just too difficult a subject for most people to relate to. Mm-hmm. But as animal advocates, our job is to enlighten the public and not just to, placate them or just to let things go because we think that they won't understand. The public, people are capable, of course, of realizing things. People used to think that chickens didn't feel, and now look, they are taking center stage in the animal protection movement. It's a matter of educating people, really.
Okay. And what would you say?
And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, great, and I love that. Because this was basically when I was researching fish sentience, this was the only organization that came up on that, which is interesting.
There are some other ones, like I said, Mercy for Animals, and PETA has done some work. There are, and in the UK, over in Europe, there's more of a focus on fish, but still nowhere near what we need.
Yeah. Okay, and what would you say, this is kind of a bit of a different question, but what would you say to individuals who identify as vegetarians yet continue to consume fish and fish byproducts?
Well, first off, I'd say they aren't vegetarians. if they're eating fish, they're eating meat. And, you know, all of the nutrients we can get from fish, we can easily, more healthfully, more humanely, more environmentally responsibly, obtain from plant sources. And that goes also for the omegas that people are so wild about fish oil for. It's perhaps the most popular dietary supplement now, fish oil. And it's not at all a health food. In fact, the Center for Science and the Public Interest, in its recent analysis of foodborne disease outbreaks over the past decade, found seafood to be by far the most hazardous food, having the highest level of illness per consumption of any of the foods that they track. You know, fish is known for accumulations of mercury, PCBs, dioxins, DDT, other heavy metals. It has cholesterol, saturated fat. It's not a health food. all those nutrients can be obtained from plant sources easily. If you're looking for omegas, good sources of omegas are chia seeds, flaxseed, flaxseed oil, hemp seed, soy products, walnuts, or and you can also get algae supplements, which is the form that fish obtain their omegas from. So we can easily get these sources. We don't need to be harming, killing fish or any animals for our food, and we shouldn't be doing it.
Hi, Mary. It's Cynthia here. I actually just have a comment with that. I'm a nutritionist, and I totally agree with everything you're saying. And I always find it funny that we tell pregnant women not to eat fish, yet we tell everybody else that fish is a health food.
Yes. I mean, right there, that should tell people something. And now there's all sorts of wonderful vegan seafood available. Recipes on our website, if you go to fishfield.org, we have a page, Vegan Seafood Resources, that's just loaded with vegan seafood recipes. I mean, when I first started looking for them, I thought it would take me like 5 minutes, and it's just amazing, the compilation, how many vegan seafood recipes there are, and products now that are convenient, they're affordable, they're widely available, and they're delicious.
Yeah, and to go off
even a vegan seafood cookbook.
Oh, great. Yeah, to go off that, I'm actually wearing one of my favorite shirts that says, I am not a swimming vegetable, and it has a picture of a fish. So
dramatic, Jackie. Yeah. That was great.
You can see how I feel about fish-eating vegetarians.
I also think as animal rights activists, we shouldn't applaud people when they say that they're pescatarians. I think that mm-hmm. it gives them this idea that that is a good thing. I think, you know, it somehow there's a stepwise approach where I think fish are just as important as a cow or a chicken, and it's about equality between all the animals. So.
Yeah.
It's true. And also, you know, fish are used to feed other farmed animals, huge numbers of fish, and also the bycatch when they're catching these animals, the other animals that they aren't targeting but they happen to catch, which includes many fish if that's not the species they happen to be looking for or if they've met their quota. Also birds, whales, dolphins, turtles, you name it, but hundreds of thousands every year caught and killed in horrific ways, tangled up in nets, caught with hooks and die of infection, just pull the board and throw them back over, dead or dying. You know, it's harming so many animals to eat fish.
And I think that also brings up an important point, that the fact that, the fish populations are declining in our oceans, humans don't like to blame themselves, so they blame seals or they blame other species, and then there becomes culling of those populations as well. So it's a huge, a huge issue that's... unfortunately needs to be addressed more, I feel, in the community as well.
People are joking themselves if they think it's seals who are eating all the fish in the world. It's just
they're just scapegoating them. I mean, it's really horrible, and these seals are starving because they mm-hmm. don't have enough fish, because they're catching so many fish to feed the aquacultured fish, and the number of large fish are down 90%, and fish such as the Pacific blue fin tuna, that's down, population's down 96%. These fish are on the border of going extinct. We are really running out of fish in mm-hmm. the ocean, which is why they're really trying to promote aquaculture now, which has its own problems. It's just not the solution. It's terrible.
And aside from being sentient, fish are also pretty intelligent. Can you describe some of the amazing ways that many species of fish exhibit their intelligence?
Well, that's true. You know, people, in addition to being sentient, they are intelligent, they're perceptive, they're inquisitive. And people have this silly notion, probably to try and justify keeping goldfish in little bowls, that the fish have a 3-second memory, but that's just absurd, especially when you think of a fish such as salmon, that migratory fish that find their way home years later and often thousands of miles away after having been away and only been there once, and they find their way back home. Fish are known to learn from other fish, and they also pass knowledge from generation to generation, which is the basis of culture. They communicate in many ways. There are some fish species who communicate and cooperatively interact with other species in ways that are beneficial to both. There's even fish who garden. The damselfish cultivate a particular type of algae and fiercely guard it from much bigger animals, including human divers. You know, we're just really learning about fish now. We just now have the technology to really study them in their natural habitat. And it's just amazing what people are finding out. Just today someone sent me an article about these blind cavefish. And they're able to count, even without seeing things, they have a way of detecting quantity. So fish, they just are, and we have a fact sheet on our website, Fish Are Fantastic Fact Sheet, just that gives some of the many interesting characteristics and qualities of fish. They're just astonishing.
Wow. And like you kind of touched on this earlier, how many people like to take their kids fishing at a young age or set up fish aquariums, which create, you know, they create a lot of significant harm to the animals. What alternative activity or resource would you recommend for individuals to connect with these animals without causing them harm?
Sure. Well, you can. There's of course lots of wonderful nature programs and books, and if you go online, there's terrific videos. And if you go out, you know, into nature, go kayaking or canoeing or just strolling along a stream, you can oftentimes see fish and learn to appreciate them that way. And you know, a lot of people go fishing and say they need to. They're just out there to recreate, but you know, it seems so. It is so ironic to say you're recreating when you're destroying. But you know, a lot of guys say they go out there just because they want just have a reason to be out there. But you can. There's so many things you can do. You can go hiking, bird watching, take up photography. You know, you don't have to be out there killing somebody to relax.
And so with the recent publicity around SeaWorld and blackfish and this idea that, you know, large fishes, cetaceans, have feelings, but what about the smaller fish? What do you think? Do you think that that idea of compassion will trickle down?
I hope so. I mean, you know, there are so many similarities, I think unignorable similarities between, and sharks, I mean, look how sharks were so demonized, and now they're getting, you know, not as much attention as they deserve, but so much attention now. I think the public is really beginning to turn around, I hope, their perception of sharks, or certainly organizations and individuals who are, you know, much more concerned about sharks, just like in the past with whales, how they became kind of, you know, I don't want to say the poster child, but the poster animal for animals and who need, you know, understanding and protection. And that's what we are hoping to do with fish, you know, get people to realize that they are sentient, they are intelligent, they are personable. I have a quote on our brochure by Sylvia Earle. She's an oceanographer, and at the time she was the chief scientist of U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And she said, I wouldn't deliberately eat a grouper, which is a type of fish, any more than I'd eat a cocker spaniel. They're so good-natured, so curious. You know, fish are sensitive. They have personalities. They hurt when they're wounded. And we have scientists who are, you know, talking about fish as individuals and explaining, showing how fish are indeed sentient. I think, you know, the fish's time has come.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to really get the word out there and have people understand this and acknowledge that fish are indeed sentient and deserving of our respect and appreciation and protection.
And I think, like what you said earlier, like this isn't something that can wait. They are on the brink of extinction. This is something we really need to be working on now, which kind of leads me into my next question. What are some of the ways that Fish Feel is working to change the perception of fish and bring awareness to their suffering?
Yes. Well, we are primarily addressing it now through education, speaking engagements and writing, of course, our website, and we have a Facebook page that we try to update daily. We'll be tabling at a number of events this summer, conferences and veg fests and such other events. And really just trying to get information out there, put together fact sheets. We have a fact sheet on fish sentience. We have one on just fascinating facts about fish. We have one on vegan seafood resources. Really trying to educate people and writing letters. I'm constantly posting comments on websites whenever I see information about fish in the news or on different websites, posting comments and writing letters to the editor and every which way we can just try and get the word out there that, you know, fish are fellow sentient beings.
Mm. And what are some things that you would recommend activists could do to help fight for fish protection?
Yes. Well, first I would say just learn the basic information about them, you know, as you would do with any topic you're approaching, get to know the basics behind it. And you can visit our website, that will give you a lot of information. And then, you know, see what's happening. Look online, do Google News, Google Fish, see what, you know, what's happening currently with them. And there are, you can, of course, post comments whenever you see an opportunity to do so. Write letters to the editor. You can try some of the vegan seafoods and try to introduce your family and friends to those. If you hear about fishing promotions, especially this time of year, fishing is very popular. You can explain why they are problematic and why we shouldn't be harming fish that way. Just, you know, whichever way you can, speak up and speak out for fish.
Great, and I really hope to see the activist community step up and do as much as they can to help these animals. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mary, to discuss about these important topics.
Well, thank you so much for having me on and for helping to spread the word about fish, the good word about fish.
You're welcome. I'll hope to talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So that was Mary Finelli of Fish Feel. To find out more about Fish Sentience or learn more about this wonderful organization, please check out fishfeel.org.
You've been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio, broadcasting live in Vancouver on unceded Coast Salish territories. Please join us next week. That's Friday, June 13th. Where we'll be speaking to Rob Grillo. He is one of the authors and founders of Free From Harm, which is a great website that has lots of wonderful articles that I really enjoy reading. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to him. And also we have local Vancouver activist Darren Chang. He'll be telling us about a recent animal rights convergence that took place in California last month. So tune in for another great show. And if you enjoyed the show and want to keep connected to with us, you can do so by signing up for our Facebook page, which is Animal Voices Vancouver. You can join us on Twitter and we are Animal Voices YVR. And send us your suggestions and comments about the show either on Facebook or via email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. Also, please do check out our website, animalvoices.org, where our shows can be downloaded as podcasts. And if you appreciate the work we do, we're actually all volunteers. You can make a donation. You can go to cooperadio.org and click donate now and make any type of donation, any amount, and make sure you choose Animal Voices as the recipients of that donation. We are closing the show today with a song called Song for the Ocean by Krista Hoffman. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and please remember to be kind to the animals.
For you and for me. You see, our mother, she has been suffering, and the truth is told beneath the seas. So raise your voices, sing like ocean waves crashing to the shore. A place sharing on this decision we